8, and we're going to get there in just a second. Today I'm excited about what I get to share the word with you today. And if you're here today, I believe, man, maybe today the Lord has a word for you, because what I want to talk about today is keeping our hope alive. Keeping our hope alive, even when we feel like quitting. How many of you have ever felt like quitting? Actually, I saw the greatest shirt. We kicked off our mom life this last week, and I had one of the moms walk in, and her t-shirt said, "Bookmarks are for quitters." And I thought, that's a cool t-shirt. I like that. Bookmarks are for quitters. You'll get it later. There you go. Bookmarks are for quitters. But today we're gonna kick this thing off, and we're gonna open up Luke chapter 8. And I want to start by showing you a photo of a guy that you might recognize, a historical figure. I'm going to put his, there he is, he's up on the screen. Some of you guys are like, I kind of think I remember where I've seen that guy before, but I'm not sure. Maybe I went up to the Reagan Library and I saw his picture up there because he's one of our presidents. This next picture will probably be more familiar to some of you, less to others of you. Go ahead and put that one up. Oh, there you go, you've seen his face on there. And this, does anyone know his name? Now it's on the screen, you can read it. Andrew Jackson. This is a picture. I had planned to show you a real fresh one of these, but I've got 5 kids, so I don't have a lot of these lying around. So I got a picture from the internet. But Andrew Jackson was a soldier. He was a general. He was the 7th president of these United States, but that's not how he started. And I actually found a story this last week that I want to share with you, because the story is told that Andrew Jackson's boyhood friends, they just couldn't understand how their buddy Andy, who they called him, Andrew Jackson, how their buddy Andy could have gone on to do such a big thing, because he wasn't obviously talented. He didn't have any extraordinary abilities like other maybe boys on the street did. And they knew of other men that lived in their neighborhood, that grew up with them and went to school with them, that man they thought would have done better, but it was Andrew Jackson that went on to be the president. Now, one of Jackson's friends said, man, there was a guy named Jim Brown who lived right down the street from Jackson. And not only was he smarter, but he could throw Andy 3 times out of 4 in wrestling. They like to wrestle. I don't know if you've ever been around a bunch of little boys, but they love to wrestle and roughhouse and do all sorts of stuff. If you don't believe me, just come over to my house and you'll see it. But he said, man, this other guy, Jim Brown, he could throw him in a wrestling match 3 times out of 4. Well, one of the friends replied and said, how come there was a 4th time? Because usually when people wrestle, they have 3 kind of bouts and then it's done. And to which the friend said, they were supposed to do that, but not Andy. See, Andy would never admit that he was beat. And so he'd get thrown, and then he'd get up and say, let's go again. And then he'd get thrown, and then he'd say, let's go again. And then he'd get thrown again. And he said, about the 4th time, old Jim Brown would start to get tired. And Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. And picking up on that idea, someone said this, it's not, what counts is not how many times you're thrown down. It's not about how many times you're thrown down, but whether you're willing to stay thrown down. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today, because you and I are going to face setbacks in life. And it's going to take courage to move forward in faith. It's going to take steps of courage to do that. And the reality of this is this, every one of us are going to face setbacks of some sort. And when we get thrown flat on our back, we got to decide, am I going to stay on my back? Am I going to stay knocked down? Or am I going to get up and try again? And this morning we find a story of a young woman that had been just like this, a woman that I believe had an iron strong backbone, because she kept getting thrown down, she kept finding failure, and yet she kept getting up, she kept trying, she kept reaching for hope. And each time that she tried, she failed. But the news is not exactly what she was looking for, and today we're going to look at the struggle of her, about how she needed a miracle. And perhaps this morning you're in need of a miracle in some area of your life. There's something that you need God to do. And this morning, as we look at her story, I pray and hope that you would find not just her story interesting, but you'd discover your own story and her story, that you'd see something of yourself. Because here's the deal. If you're in need of a touch from God, Jesus will meet you there. He'll meet you in the middle of that need. My wife actually shared this with me yesterday. She said this, and I wrote it down, and I'm going to share it with you because it was good. She said this. She said, God is still in the life-giving, hope-filling, miracle-breathing, dream-reaching business. He's still in the business of doing miracles. He's still in the business of breathing life into death, into the dead places of our lives. He's still in the business of doing all of those things. And I'm going to say it again because I believe that might be a word for you, that God is in the life-giving, hope-filling, miracle-breathing, dream-reaching business. See, our God is able to do the impossible, friends. He is. I believe that with every fiber of my being. He's able to do the impossible because I've seen him do it in my own life. He's able to fill you with areas of your life with hope that might have run dry. You ever run dry and you need filling? You need to get filled up. You need to be refreshed. God's able to breathe miracles into existence in our situations. And if you have that note sheet that you got when you came in this morning, the first fill in the blank is this. The big idea today is this. When hope comes walking by, grab it. Grab a hold of it and never let it go. Grab hold of it and never let it go. As we see in this woman's story, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to pick up her story. And her story is found in the middle of somebody else's story. Last weekend, we started looking at a story of a man named Jairus and his daughter that was sick. And man, he came to Jesus and he cried out to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I need your help. And in the middle of that miracle story, this woman comes along. Or actually, more specifically, Jesus comes along in her story and shows up. And so we're going to pick it up in her story because this is an important thing. Because hope in her story came walking by. And I believe this morning that hope is walking by today as well. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 42, it says this. As Jesus went, again, he was going to Jairus' house. The people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Say 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, of Jesus' garment, and immediately, say immediately, you guys sound good. Immediately, her discharge of blood ceased, and Jesus said, who was it that touched me? Imagine that. They're walking through this crowd, and Jesus says, who touched me? Right? When they all denied it. Peter said, Master, the crowds are surrounding you, and they're pressing in on you. But Jesus said, no, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. 12 years. 12 years. Can you think back to 12 years ago? I mean, some of you, like, it doesn't seem like that far away, but 12 years. Can't remember what house I was living in 12 years ago. 12 years. She had tried and tried to find healing. She had tried to find breakthrough for her ailment. I just always imagine, I don't know why, I always imagine that life has theme music. You know, I feel like, man, movies are better because life has theme music in movies. But I always wonder, if there was a radio announcer for this woman's life, it would have been so depressing, you know what I mean? You know, just imagine, like, all right, she shoots, she misses, right? Oh, she's got the ball, she dribbles, she shoots, she misses again. Oh, she's got a breakaway, she's running for it. She fell down, right? It wouldn't have been very exciting. It wouldn't have been very fun. It wouldn't have been inspiring. For 12 years, she tried, and she went to doctors, and she went to clinics, and she tried home remedies, and she tried everything that she knew to try in her own power. And each time it was a swing and a miss. Let's just say something. It's no fun to swing and miss, is it? I've had the great privilege of coaching a couple of my boys' baseball teams. And it's always exciting and exhilarating to see a young child. Doesn't matter if it's mine or not. But if it's mine, it's a little bonus. But to see them at the plate and they swing and they connect and they just clobber the baseball. And you just see the smile on their face as they just, like, oh, That's how George feels when he hits a golf ball, right? Come on. Same feeling. You know, you swing and it just goes. There's nothing better than to see that, but there's also nothing sadder than to see a young child get up to the plate and swing and miss, and swing and miss, and game in and game out. They get up to the plate and they swing and they miss, and you just want to stand on the sidelines and say, you can do it, right? I believe in you. And when they finally do hit it, it's like, oh, like it's the coolest feeling in the world. Maybe that's just me, but I love to see people succeed. I love to see kids, man, when they're trying to just finally get it, to finally make the connection. Those of you who teach, you know what that's like, to see a kid struggle with a concept and finally it just clicks. It's like, oh, they get it. This lady's story, she had tried and she had tried. And I would imagine after 12 years, she was pretty overwhelmed. Sometimes we struggle with things for a day or a week or a couple months and it feels overwhelming. But she struggled for 12 years. She was dejected and likely ready to abandon hope, but she didn't. Let me ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been at the end of your rope, like, man, I don't know how long I can hold on to hope anymore? And it doesn't matter what it is or what issue is going on. When you find hope walking by, grab hold of it, friend. Grab hold of it and don't let it go. Now, some people might say, as we share about this and we listen to this woman's story, and it sounds sad and it sounds kind of like, man, this is not like an inspirational story, Pastor, but the end of her story is. But some of you don't find yourself there. You're not waiting for hope to walk by. And let me just say to you, friends, if you don't find yourself in that season, you know someone who is in a season like that. And you might not know someone who is in a season like that, but let me just reassure you, you walk by people who are in a season like that every single day. It may be in your workplace. It may be on the streets. It may be somewhere else in your life. But there's a lot we can learn about what to do when we find ourselves, when hope feels far away. And I want to share just three lessons from this lady's story. Whether or not you're in a season like that or someone you know is, there are three lessons from this lady's life when hope feels far away. The first is this. When hope feels far away, know that you matter to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, you matter to God. Sometimes we can buy into the lie that God has forgotten about us. That somehow when God was picking teams, he forgot about us, that we were ready to play the game. You know what I mean? That he's forgotten about us, we're abandoned or forgotten. And let me just speak some truth to you this morning. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. He has not missed you. You matter to God, and you are valuable and precious to him. Although you might be in difficult situations now, or you might have been in your past, or you might be someday in your future, though you endure suffering, he cares about you. And that's important for us to remember. Because for this young woman, I don't know how old she was, whether she was really old or really young, but she was over 12 years old at least. She had to remember that God cared about her. And though you might not feel that way today, you know someone who does. You might not know their story directly, but you know of them. And we must never get too busy for the purposes of God. We must never be too busy for the purposes of God. And I just want to say something. Jesus was kind of a big deal, right? He was kind of an important guy. He was sent by the Father to kind of go do a mission here on earth. He had stuff to do. And even in this moment, Jesus was on his way to go perform a miracle, right? There was someone that had called for Jesus, an important man that needed his help. And there was a young child that was about to die. And so Jesus gets this call from this frantic father. Hey, come help my daughter. She's about to die. So Jesus is on his way. He's likely in a hurry. He's ready to get there. And he's walking through this crowd of people when this woman enters into the scene. And this is a time-sensitive thing, right? Jesus couldn't push the snooze button on this issue. You ever hit the snooze button? How many of you guys like to press the snooze button in the morning? Go on, raise your hands. Some of you will get around to doing it later, but raise your hands now. I don't know about you, but I kind of sometimes when I'm really tired, I like to just press the snooze. But Jesus was at an emergency where no snooze was available. You know what I mean? You ever have those kind of situations like, no, I got to take care of this right now. I got a kid with a bloody nose, or there's a kid about to throw up, or there's something traumatic about to happen, or there's an emergency at work and I got to get there. That's the kind of emergency Jesus was in. And yet, even in the midst of that, Jesus reminds us that we should never get so far ahead that we miss the purpose of God for our lives. See, part of following Jesus is learning to love like he did. And really, to really love someone is to make time for them when they need us. I heard a story that Pastor Craig Groeschel shared about this issue. For if you're not familiar, he's a busy guy. He leads the largest attended church in America called Life.Church. If you guys are using the YouVersion app right now, his church actually put that together and gave it away to the world. Awesome guy. But he shared in a book called Servant Leadership in Action about a time he was in one of those kind of hurries. He was rushing to get home. Maybe you've been late for dinner, and maybe you got caught up in work. You've ever been in a situation where you're rushing to get somewhere to a meeting. That was him. And he was rushing to get home, and he lives in Oklahoma because that's where he's at. But he was taking the back roads, and maybe you've been late, and you've driven on one of these back roads. You ever been in a backcountry road? Usually you don't drive slow on them, you know, when you're late. You're back in the middle of nowhere. George isn't around with his cruiser, so you're safe. And so you're going quick, and you're trying to make up time for all the streetlights you got caught in. And he shared a story about there's a time that he got out there in the middle of nowhere on one of these back roads. And at an intersection, he saw a woman standing in the road in the middle of nowhere. Now, she wasn't, like, covered in blood. There was nothing crazy. She wasn't screaming or waving him down. But he got this feeling down in his gut, which is what I find, that's kind of the place the Holy Spirit tends to kind of nudge me a little bit, you know what I mean? And so he got this feeling, man, I really should stop and help her. I don't know if she's in need, she's not flagging me down, but she's in the middle of nowhere, I don't know what she's doing. I feel like I should stop. And he shares that, man, as he drove to that intersection, he started having this debate, maybe you've had this yourself. He's saying, man, I should really stop. Yeah, but I got places to be, and my wife's got food on the table, and my kids are waiting. And he starts having this argument, this inner argument inside of his soul. And he shares, man, as he drove past her, he was still having that argument. And a couple hours later, after he had been home for a while, he realized, man, I should have stopped. I don't know what was going on. And we've all been in situations like that where we feel like, man, we're supposed to do something. But we must never get too busy for the purposes of God in our lives. See, you and I, we're called to the mission field. We might not be called to the mission field of South Africa or to Mexico or some other location on this planet, but wherever you are, God has called you on a mission. And when I'm walking around Costco, I'm just going to drop a name because that's where my family shops, that's how I feed my army. But when I'm walking around Costco, I get reminded that God has placed me here for a reason. See, I walk down the diaper aisle on a monthly basis, and I got to pick out like 12 pallets of diapers to clothe my children. But when I'm walking down that aisle, I don't think I'm here on a mission for diapers. I think in the back of my head, no, I'm on a mission from God. And you say, that sounds pretty dramatic, Pastor, but I always want to ask myself, God, what is it that you want me to do here? See, I might be here to get diapers. I might be here to get some chicken and all the other stuff that we got to buy at the store or at the place that I'm at. But if I will be honest, I am here because God has placed me here. I'm at that Costco on a mission for God. Now, what would happen if we would unbusy ourselves and not be in such a rush that, like Jesus, man, we could be going to do something super important, but that we would slow down enough to ask, even in the middle of whatever it is that we're doing that's chaotic, Jesus, what mission do you have for me here? What people do you want me to have a conversation with here? What greater purpose do you want me to do with my life, more than just buying diapers or chicken or milk or whatever it is that I'm at the grocery store? Or God, when I'm at the soccer fields or the baseball fields, what mission do you have for me here? What people do you want me to have a conversation with? What if we started each day asking God to reveal his purpose to us in the middle of our situations. That when we might be driving down a lonely road in the middle of nowhere, we might have a divine appointment of God with someone that we never would have imagined having a conversation with. What if we went to Costco, and though we might not say it out loud because that'd be kind of weird, right? If we went into Costco and said, I'm here on a mission from God, right? Don't do that. Don't do those things. I don't want you getting arrested or getting put in a movie with cool sunglasses, but if you might not say it, but what would happen if you walked in to Safeway or you walked into Vons or what other grocery store you want to go to and you said, man, God, I'm on a mission. And it's not just to get eggs. It's not just to get what I think I'm here to get. But I'm on a mission for God. See, you matter enough that God was willing to come after you, to search you out when you were far from him. We sang a song about it this morning. It's a good song. But see, God was willing to search for you, to come and rescue you when you were lost and far from him, when you weren't living rightly and didn't have all your stuff together. And God has sent us to be his messengers of hope, to be those people that walk through the bustling places as Jesus walked through in our story, and to be messengers of hope that walk through someone else's story. See, I'm just here to tell you that it's so easy to quit. It's so easy to give up hope. Whether you're far from God or maybe you're just in a situation where hope seems far away, it's easy to quit. And I just want to say, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. One of my favorite Winston Churchill quotes says so aptly this. He says, never, never, never give up. I love that. Never give up. Because you and I never know this side of the miracle when God will show up, when hope will come walking into our situation. And for this poor woman, I don't know how many times she had tried and failed. I don't know how many times in your life you're going to be thrown on your back. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get pushed over. You're going to get passed up for promotion or whatever it is. I don't know how many times that's going to happen with you, but there will be a day when hope walks by, and I want to just encourage you, never give up. Don't quit. Because when hope feels far away, you've got to know that you matter to God. The second thing that this woman's story teaches us is that when hope feels far away, you've got to remember that Jesus can still do miracles. He can still do miracles. He's the God of miracles, and he is in the life-giving, hope-filling, miracle-breathing, dream-reaching business. See, many others had tried to heal this young woman. And sometimes we try and fix our own problems. We try and figure out ways to help ourselves, and we try healing ourselves. But only Jesus can fully and completely heal the brokenness of our soul. Only he can heal our spiritual wounds, and Jesus can also heal us physically. See, the scriptures declare that this woman had spent her entire living on physicians. I don't know what kind of living she made, but she had spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to get healed. And just want to say this, as a son of a physician, I have great respect for the men and women that study and practice medicine. But they're practicing. They're practicing medicine. I have a great admiration for the advances we've made as a civilization with medicine and learning about why we get sick and how to heal our bodies and with physical remedies. But as great as earthly physicians are, they're absolutely no match for our great physician. See, we got to remember that Jesus can and still does do miracles. And when hope comes walking by, we got to grab a hold of him and be healed. Matthew's account of this story kind of shares this woman's thoughts and says this in Matthew 9:21. And it says, for she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I'll be made well. She had faith even after a long season of trying and not seeing a breakthrough. She thought to herself, if I could only get to Jesus, if I could just get close enough, not close enough to have a conversation with him, not even close enough to touch him, but if I can just get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment, just a little bit of his robe as he walks by me in the marketplace, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, then I just know that I'll be made well. She believed that Jesus could make her well. So there she is, trying by faith to be healed of an issue she's got. And she touches Jesus' garment as he walks by. And she's instantly and dramatically healed. See, I believe that this woman knew, she had faith enough to believe that God could heal her. She believed that God was able and willing to do so. Just as God had spoken to his people over and over again in the pages of the Old Testament before Jesus walked the earth, that God had reminded his people that he was a God who could heal their sicknesses, that he was, as many Jews would know him, as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Exodus 15:26 says this. God reminded his people way back then, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer. See, before I'll ever come to God with my stuff, now that could be spiritual stuff, it could be emotional stuff, it could be physical stuff. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff it is. Before I'll ever come to God for healing, I got to believe that he's a God who can heal and he's a God who wants to heal. That he's a God who wants to heal me of my brokenness. Psalm 103, verse 2 through 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." See, when hope feels far away, you've got to remember that Jesus can still do miracles. And the third and final thing is this, when hope feels far away, you've got to trust that hope is closer than you can imagine. See, for this woman, who, by the way, was sick for as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive, 12 years, they were both about the same. She had been with this ailment for about the same amount of time. It would have been easier for her to give up hope, but against all odds, as hope came walking by, she reached out to Jesus and was changed forever. Sometimes we buy into the lie that God doesn't care about us, that he's so distant or far away that there's no way we could possibly, he could be concerned with our stuff. But that's just not true. Acts 17, verse 27 says, "His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Say, he's not far. Say, he's not far. He's not far from us. Sometimes we feel like God is far away, but he's not far from any one of us. What is God's purpose for your life, my friend? See, God desires that you would seek after him, that you would search for him, that you would look for him, and that as you search for him, you would find him. God doesn't play heavenly hide and seek. He doesn't run away when we search for him. See, none of us are more than a breath away from God's miracle working power. We don't have to wait for the right moment. Let me just say it. Now is the right moment, friends. Now is the right moment. See, we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you find yourself in need of a miracle today, then today is the day that you need to reach out to Jesus. Today is the day you need to reach your hands out and say, "God, I need a touch from you. I just need to touch the hem of your garment." Let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back from reaching out your hand to God himself and seeking to be changed by his healing power? Psalm 145, verse 18, is actually in our reading yesterday, and I wanted to share it with you. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him." To all who call on him in truth. So, friends, if you search out for God, God will show himself to you. He will be near to you because the Lord is near to all who call on him, because healing power comes from Jesus. I want to share this last scripture with you before we conclude. Isaiah 53, verse 4 is a prophecy about Jesus, written many, many years before Jesus would come along. It says this about Jesus. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. And he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Amen. See, not only was Jesus punished on the cross, and not only did he die, not for his sins, for he was without sin. He died on the cross for my sins, for your sins. Not only is that true, but he was punished. He was stricken by God for your sins and mine. And on that cross, he paid the price that I owed for my sin, that you owed for yours. He suffered the consequences that I deserve to endure. And by his wounds, as he was beaten with a cat of nine tails and bruised and spit upon, and those wounds that he bore in his body, he bore that I might be healed, that you might be healed, my friend. See, by his wounds, we are healed. God wants to heal some of you today, and he wants to heal you in a lot of different ways. God wants to heal us by his wounds, spirit, soul, and body. Some of you got some spiritual healing that God wants to do. If you've never made your profession of faith, you've never put your trust in Jesus, today might be your day to do that. But that's where Jesus is able to heal us and give us a new and eternal life, heal us spiritually. But God also wants to heal us where we got soul wounds as well. Maybe you've got emotional pains or things you've been carrying around. Jesus Christ is able. He's in the house. And he was ready to heal us in those wounds that we've got. And last but not least, I believe God wants to heal us in our physical bodies this morning. If you're struggling with an ailment or an issue, that's one. Maybe it's one you've had for a long time. Maybe it's not. I'm begging you, reach out to Jesus today. See, our faith can make us well. In a few moments, I'm going to invite maybe you to pray with someone around you, to ask God's healing touch. I want to read James 5:14. It says that this is not just a thing that pastors need to do. This is something we need to pray for one another. James 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call to the elders of the church and let them pray on him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." Friends, can we bow our heads and respond to the Lord this morning? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word this morning today, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your fresh reminder from the ministry of Jesus that you're never too busy for us. Perhaps today we felt, man, God, you're too busy for me. There's too much going on. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded that you're never too busy for us. You're never too busy to bring healing to our doorsteps, to transform our lives. So God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the fact that you love us, that you desire to heal us, spirit, soul, and body. In a few moments, we're going to pray over one another and begin to ask the God of heaven for breakthrough over our lives, praying for one another in our physical and emotional needs, asking for God's healing touch. But before we do, with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never responded to Jesus' free gift of grace, see, perhaps you're within the sound of my voice and you've never made a commitment to following Jesus. You've never received his free love and free gift of grace and mercy. I believe you may be here. You may need to take that step today for the very first time. If that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, because Jesus said it clearly. He said, "If you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven." But he said, "If you don't, I won't." So there's something important about acknowledging it here. In just a moment, I want to agree with you. If that's you today, I want to just pray over you. I won't call you down front or do anything strange. But I want to agree with you if that's you today. You say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to reach out my hands to him for the first time and say yes to him. His free gift of grace. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift up your hand and lift up your eyes so I can agree with you in prayer? Never want to leave this space without giving someone an opportunity to do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you that you are the Son of God. Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins in our place. And we trust, God, that we are made right with you, not by what we do, but why Jesus did on the cross. So we put our trust in you. Jesus, we believe that you died in our place, that you were raised from the grave to eternal life. And in so doing, you brought for us eternal life. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, we're going to do something that we don't do every weekend around here. We're going to stick around. We're not done quite yet. But